Monster Man, Episode 187, Devils, Part 6. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are finally completing our look at the Devils of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, though, I want to thank a new patron. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's patron, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities. We just released episode 44. We're talking about the mythology of the Aztec and Maya cultures. We've also done previous series on Chinese mythology, Norse mythology, Finnish mythology, Sumerian mythology, and the mythology of H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos. So if you join now, you'll have 44 episodes to listen to, all at one low, low price. Anyway, please excuse the sales pitch. I get old-fashioned when I try to shill things. Never mind that. What I want to do here is thank Chris K. Chris, thank you so much for your support. All right, let's take a look at some devils. The first of our devils is the feeblest devil we've encountered yet. I think even feebler than the Lemures, who were the kind of previous low bar for devils back in the first Monster Manual. This is the Nuparibo. Now, I've done some looking around on this one, and I don't think that the Nuparibo is based in any form of historical demonology. It's not always as 100% clear as you might think, because often these creatures are sort of inspired by something from demonology and then, you know, changed quite a bit, as we will see in our next episode. But anyway, the Nuparibo is basically a blind creature that's made from the weakest of damned souls. And there's actually a pretty horrific image that these blind, speechless legions being forced into combat by higher-ranking devils. Their only hope of achieving anything in hell is to die and be reborn as another kind of devil. So when you fight them, you're fighting this endless, undifferentiated horde of creatures that, you know, okay, they have AC 9 and 1 hit die. They genuinely want to die, and they're being, you know, pushed onto your sword point in swarms by devils who, you know, who don't care if these no-good Nuparibos drop like flies, as long as they can do some damage while they're dying. It's actually quite a horrible, hellish image, and it definitely reinforces the idea that this is a place of punishment. You know, that these are creatures who don't have enviable lives. Like, you wouldn't be too unhappy to be Mephistopheles. I mean, you'd still be in hell, but presumably with a big fancy house and dreams of conquest and all that kind of stuff. But those archdevils and dukes of hell are, you know, the 1%, the 1% of the 1% of hell. And most people are going to wind up as Nuparibos or, if they're very lucky, Lemures. Next on the list, we have Titivillus. Now, I will always say Titivillus, but by the rules of Latin pronunciation, it is Titivillus. Titivillus is the Duke of Hell responsible for twisting words. And that ties into kind of a little meta joke, because the structure of the end of this section goes, Nuparibo, Titivillus, Spined Devil. So Titivillus is actually out of alphabetical order in this section. And that is because Titivillus is the devil responsible for scribal errors. In the Middle Ages, Titivillus was blamed for all kinds of mistakes with words. So those could be misspoken words, they could be scribal errors, I would say typographical errors, but obviously they weren't typing anything. Or when a priest says the Latin words of the Mass, you know, lazily or too quickly, then that's, you know, Titivillus is present, and when people talk in church. So Titivillus is the devil who is associated with the errors and mistakes of words. And whether he causes them or whether he, like, collects them and takes them back to hell, that varies from source to source. But he's a genuine medieval thing. He's originally described in the 13th century. And of course, as with everything, that's just the earliest extant source that we have. Anyway, Titivillus is pretty cool. And, I'm enough of a medieval nerd that I'm quite pleased with the idea that Titivillus is out of alphabetical order. Because he is the devil that deals with the mistakes of words, he has caused a word mistake to appear in this gaming book. Quite like a chortly granddad type of a joke, but definitely a good joke. You know, his powers in the Monster Manual 2 actually reflect this pretty well. He's got a lot of powers relating to confusion and causing mistakes. He's got the things like fumble, forget, illusion, illusory script, and other language-related powers like tongues or ventriloquism, plus the usual suite of sort of deception and suggestion powers. So, yeah, Titophilus is a pretty good representation of what you would do if you wanted to turn the medieval concept of Titophilus into something that the player characters could fight. This Duke of Hell is significantly more powerful and dangerous than the kind of schlubby prankster typically portrayed in portrayals of Titophilus. And then finally, we have the Spined Devil. The Spined Devil is yet another one of the legionaries of hell, but significantly above the level of the pathetic Naparibo. Spined Devils are, you know, kind of primary combatant guys. They can fling their spines at people. They can fly past them and shoot spines. They're armed with pole arms, of course. More pole arm boys. And there's not much to them other than that they are some guys that you would fight. They look much more like you would expect devils to look. They're kind of the middle rank where, you know, this is a hierarchical society where everyone prospers by putting a boot on the face of the person below them. And the Spine Devils and their ilk are kind of not even Hell's middle managers, just kind of like Hell's squad leaders. You know, you can definitely see the Spine Devils using their military forks to prod the hapless Naparibos into the, you know, the meat grinder of attacking a bunch of paladins or whatever, or for that matter, attacking a bunch of demons. So what can we conclude about the devil section of Monster Manual 2 now that we have, in fact, concluded it? And for that matter, about the demons, but I didn't feel that the demons had as strongly implied a setting as the devil section, because there's a thread that runs through the devil section of Monster Manual 2, which is this political conflict in hell, this rivalry between Mephistopheles and ultimately Asmodeus. It doesn't include every creature in the devil section, but certainly Mephistopheles, Moloch, Belial, Mammon, by extension Baal. There's a good number of these characters. But and that's it, isn't it? That they are characters. And, you know, the nature of being lawful evil sort of makes the devil more susceptible or more useful for this kind of political plot, right? It's very hard to imagine this kind of rational, structured conflict between Demogorgon and somebody. Doesn't quite work. So I definitely like the idea that there is, you know, hell is all the things wrong about order, and that includes tyranny, right? It's ultimate sin, but also stagnation and legalism and bureaucracy. I mean, again, you want to be cautious with that bureaucracy concept, because it is very difficult to toe the line between sort of Kafkaesque bureaucratic absurdism and that one episode of Futurama where Hermes has to get his bureaucrat's license back, a sense of bureaucratic absurdity. And, you know, one of those, I submit, is better for an atmosphere of horror than the other one is. But what this means is that we're starting to see why you would care about the difference between devils and demons, even more than just from the perspective of the player characters and their alignments. Because you're going to have different kinds of adventures in those realms based on the way that the ideological or moral positions of these monsters structure their society. And that's less true when you're back on the primaterial plane and you're just like busting a cult that's trying to summon one of them. If you're busting a cult that's trying to summon something, it doesn't really matter whether it's Beelzebul or Demogorgon or Cthulhu. Whatever it is, you don't want it summoned, and that cult leader is going to get some longsword. And it's sort of the details of it are kind of irrelevant. So this is interesting, and I don't know the publication history of first edition all that well, so I wonder how much setting material has been published at this point. My instinct is to say not very much. Like Oriental Adventures is 85, then in the later 80s you get things like Greyhawk Adventures and Manual of the Plains and Dragonlance. So I don't know when you start to get a whole lot of setting material, but I feel like this is maybe the most in-depth planar setting material we've had up to this point, right? Until, you know, 4 years later when Manual of the Plains comes out. I don't know. Anyway, it's an interesting thought. Now, next time, we're going to be dealing with just one monster because, well, for reasons that'll become apparent just in terms of the structure of this section, but it's an interesting one, so I hope you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.